We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the Esports Biz Show. I'm your host, Justin Jacobson. This week we'll be discussing esports event operators. Just as a disclaimer, nothing here is intended as legal advice, so all the information is for educational purposes only. This week's guest is Titus Walker. Titus is the founder and CEO of the Ultimate End Gamers League, the UEL. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So to start, introduce yourself. Tell us about your past gaming experience and what was the first game you played?
Sure. Mortal Kombat was the first game I played. It was back when it was on Sega, and I was probably about 4 or 5 years old. Definitely should not have been playing.
Right, that's a little aggressive of a game to start out with.
Yeah, but it was my first game. My dad was a big fan of it, and he introduced me, and I just really enjoyed being able to, you know, to beat him in a game, because Mortal Kombat was like one or two buttons tops, right? And so yeah, that was my first game. And again, my name's Titus, the league started. That's what my start in gaming. Actually, ended up doing real estate for about 8 years. So I did more real estate development, building out communities. Did that on a large scale and small scale. So I did a small 10 home community all the way up to a 2,000 home community. And then probably about 4.5 years ago, got into the esports and gaming business, and I've been doing that ever since.
So yeah, so why'd you kind of transition into the, you know, the space?
I never really enjoyed it. As much money as I made in real estate, I never enjoyed it. It was just something that I knew I could make money in and to support my family. But I've always really loved gaming, had a passion for it. And when I was in real estate, I realized like how cyclical real estate was, and I wanted to make sure I had something. And I like creating opportunities for people. And so being that I never had the opportunity as a kid to be like a pro gamer or anything like that, I wanted to kind of create that opportunity within this space, a realistic pro gamer opportunity. And that's what really got me into this and made me so passionate about it.
Amazing. So let's kind of talk about this. So tell us about the Ultimate End Gamers League. What is it and kind of why'd you start it?
Sure. So when I dove into the esports world, I recognized one major, major flaw in that world, and that every esports league that was being built or esports business kind of had a focus on a single title. And that focus made it so that league could only really grow but so large. And I talk about it like, you know, it'd be like back in the day with music, doing a fan club for Snoop Dogg, right? You get a Snoop Dogg fan club, it grows to 100,000 Snoop Dogg listeners. Snoop Dogg's going to be like, oh, that's great. Great job. You know, you get it to a million or 10 million listeners, and then you start getting sponsors and advertisers, and now you're making $100 million on this Snoop Dogg fan club. Now Snoop Dogg's going to have an issue, right? I see gaming as that same thing. They build these, you know, you're building these leagues and these, you know, fan clubs really, and doing all this marketing to grow your league. But then eventually the person that owns that IP is going to come after your investment. All of the time and effort and money you put into it doesn't really matter at that point, because you don't own the game, which means you don't really own the community. And so I didn't want to do that. I knew that I didn't want to do that. And so I started focusing on creating something that was more gamer-centric, something that more focused on gamers as a whole, to be able to kind of bring them in, draw them in, and get them involved in my ecosystem, so that then we could utilize that to instead of, I think of it like this, if I instead do a fan club for music, like a Spotify, right? And then I build up the user base, Snoop Dogg then comes to me. So you think of the gamers as that fan club, right? And now the buyer or the my customer is the developer, right? And so that's, I've kind of developed a way to kind of flip that on its head and make the developers the customers, my users as the product, if you will, or the gamers. And then the gamers get paid to be able to play the developers' games on a competitive setting. And so yeah, we've been able to do that pretty successfully. We're on our 8th season now, so.
Well, yeah, so before we kind of get into that, I guess it's kind of like, you know, for those who are unfamiliar, the game publishers and developers, since they own the game, they really determine all the commercial usage. So they have these certain community guidelines where if your event is within these parameters, you can do it without a license, where otherwise you need to get a license, which usually has a licensing fee from the developer. And, you know, it's all very relative to the amount of competitors, the viewers, the sponsorship money, the prize money. And, you know, as I'm sure you know, the bigger the company are, it's not necessarily that easy to just send them an email and be like, hey, I want to do this event. How much does it cost? It's yep. not like that, especially if you're not doing a huge mega event. A mega company like a Riot Games or Activision Blizzard or Epic, it's just they don't have the bandwidth to, you know, do your 1500 or your 500 license fee, right? It's just yep. not feasible with the way they're structured.
Yeah. And even if you do have a mega event, they're still not necessarily responding to you if you don't have the name behind you as well. You know, you could raise all the money and then reach out and you're just not going to get an email back because they're just not interested.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of very selective of what operators they're working with.
Yep, exactly. And so we've kind of made it, we flipped it on its head to where now we can be selective of who we work with. And the people that are our community are gamers. They enjoy all different kinds of titles. We found the average gamer plays about 24 games a year. Not I actually worked with University of Mary Washington Business School, and they were able to determine through research that 24 games a year for the average gamer. I know I play a lot of games a year. I kind of shuffle through different titles, try out different things, and Game Pass and Steam, they make it so much easier to kind of go from game to game. And so gamers normally enjoy multiple games. It's very rare to find a gamer that only plays a single title, right? And so the realization for me was that, okay, if the average gamer is playing 24 games a year, why develop something for the 1% of the 1% that only enjoy, you know, a single game? Just one game ever is all they play. I don't know a single person that does, by the way. Not one. I don't know a single person.
I mean, yeah, like I would say I'm pretty cool. Like 2K is like a staple, but like, you know, I have Marvel Snap and Contest of Champions. And yeah, but I would say I'm not the average gamer anymore. But like in my heyday, it was definitely like FIFA, Madden, any like all the major sports games and StarCraft. And, you know, then, yeah, like you'd have like a fighting game here. And so like, yeah, I could see how most people have that many titles, but you might have, oh, I love Fortnite or Call of Duty or right. something that's like a consistent staple. But even you see with streamers, they get burnt out after only doing one game over and over for years. They yep. dabble in other games. The variety nature tends to fit more people better because, like you said, you just try out this new game. It's fun for 2 weeks and then it's on to the next game. And, yep. you know, that flexibility is, you know, sometimes enjoyed by a lot of people.
Exactly. Yeah, it's more enjoyable to most people than just one game all year round for the next 10, 20, 30 years, you know what I mean? It's not a realistic business plan, right? And so I tried to create something that was a little bit more realistic. It's much more realistic that gaming is going to be around in 30 years. It's very unrealistic that Street Fighter 6 is going to be around in 30 years, right? Like it may exist, right? But it's going to exist on some sort of
12.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It may last that long, but it'll be on a Raspberry Pi that has 150 different games, you know, from way back, right? That is just the way things work. And so I wanted to be able to pivot that same way with my business.
Definitely. So let's kind of talk a bit about the league. So are there any franchise buying fees? I know there's different teams. Like, kind of how does that work? Who owns the teams? How do the players, sure, you know, get involved and join the teams?
Great. Yeah. There's 12 different teams. They are 10 of those 12 teams are owned by investors, and they buy in as basically a franchise. So they become investors in the league, but also owners of that team. We do all the recruiting and stuff like that, but then they do the draft. So we have a draft every season where new players get in. They get drafted to a specific team. The picks are based on last season's results. So just like an NFL, NBA, there's trades that happen throughout the season. Mm-hmm. There's contracts for all the players involved, and they can sign up to, I think we're at now, we do up to a two-year deal. So you can, the longest contract is 2 years. The owners of the teams are, we have major cybersecurity company that owns one team. We have another one owned by Gracie's Jiu-Jitsu franchise, regional owner or whatever. We have one that's owned
by traditional business people, not necessarily sports entrepreneurs like Overwatch League or traditional. So that's great. It's kind of like a business investment for them.
Exactly. We just sold a team. We have a hedge fund manager or CEO of a hedge fund that bought one of the teams recently. So it's just businesses that are interested in getting involved in esports. We're still at somewhat of a, like the last team that was sold for $250,000. So we're still at a very somewhat, you know, doable price for some businesses. I know it's not like everybody's, but we try to be accessible to as many people as we can as we grow. And then the other two teams are unowned. So what we do is we add teams. Then we develop those teams. We hire general managers for those teams, and we kind of build them up so that when an investor, when we're ready to sell them, we're selling them as a completed product, if you will. The investor knows where they are in the league. They know where they stand. They already have that kind of turnkey to where they can just invest the money, and they don't even have to be involved if they don't want to. But they can get completely involved and, you know, make all the trades and do all that stuff if they wanted to as well. So it's really up to them. And from a player perspective, as of now, you can join the league just by registering on our website. It's that simple. It's free to register. Our goal is to be open to any and all gamers. So if you want to be a part of it, then just register. It's really that simple.
What are the requirements? Like, can you be a current pro player, former pro? Is it like you have to be exclusive? Like, could some guys on Optic Gaming just come in and be like, okay, we're just going to roll everyone and win all the prize money?
Good luck to them. Yep, absolutely. There's no way anybody in Optic is going to be able to beat anybody in our league. So good luck to them.
Well, I guess we're going to have to make that happen one of these days. We got all the teams on speed dial.
Yeah, we've already done it. We've had challengers that come in. And this is a challenge to anybody watching. We will put up the $10,000 ourselves. You come on out and you can play us. And if we win, you don't get paid. You don't have to pay anything. But if we lose, we'll pay you the $10,000. It's a challenge we put out to anybody. You can put together your best Optic fees. We don't care about any of that. Like, none of that matters. Our pros are the best in the world.
Well, everyone out there, you hear that. It's an open challenge. So grab your squad and, you know, we'll see who wins. That's exciting. So
yeah.
What games do the teams compete in?
There's 33 different titles, and they change each season. But this season, we have everything from, for shooters, we have like Apex, Halo, Fortnite. It's basically around 6 or 7 of each genre. So fighting games, sports games, shooting games, racing games, and strategy games. And then we compile those and put together based on developer involvement, whether or not the developer is willing to pay. So we're actually going to developers actively for season 9 now, and selling them placement on our wheel for season 9 and 10 and 11.
So how many, you know, teams are there? How many players per team? Like, what's kind of that look like?
Yeah, a roster on a team is there's 18 players on a team in total, but only 7 of them make the starting lineup. So some teams, so we have professional gamers that come out from California to come compete. We have some NFL players. We have So, but they're traveling, and so the roster needs to be large enough to be able to see like who's local, who can play in a, you know, in a game versus some games you may need. Like if you're playing against Eclipse, DC Eclipse, they're one of the best teams in the league. They rarely lose, so you need to have your best lineup against them. Whereas if you're playing against,
Who are we gonna throw the shade on? Who's the
just the Tennessee Bucks? Then you're you know, you're probably going to play like your third string.
Mm-hmm. You're not as worried about making sure your star is there.
No.
That's interesting. So kind of how does the licensing process work? I know you kind of say now you're approaching the developers and, you know, yep, they're essentially paying you a fee to be a spotlight game in the league and to kind of use it as a promotional tool for, you know, them.
Yes. Yeah. So we have different levels to their involvement. One season at a minimum costs $5,000. And so you can kind of see where the prize money comes from based on that, right? So it's not, as you know, it's not a huge fee for a developer, but that $5,000 gets them access. We know 58% of our gamers buy the games the second they get on the wheel. So it's pretty much guaranteed money for them that they're going to get. But then between $5,000 and we have our max is like $100,000, and that gets them like as a showcase. We do advertisements, they're on the jerseys, like, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Because we're doing about 60 games. If you include the playoffs and the finals, we're doing about 70 games a season. So they have the ability to be showcased every week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Are they able to showcase their games in person or online, or what's
it's all in person? Yeah, all in person at our arena in Virginia and Stafford.
Wow, that's amazing. So, what would we say the hardest part about working with, you know, some of the game developers?
Just getting in contact. You know, that's really the hardest part. Once we're in contact, they're all on board. You know, the thing that we can offer that other leagues just can't, period, is the ability to cross over. If I was to tell you I could get a League of Legends player to play NBA 2K, you would probably laugh, right? But I can do that. You know, I can get the NBA, the League of Legends player buying and playing 2K. And that's where we get to really shine as a league, because in order to win, they have to be able to compete in these games. And so they are willing to buy and then play.
Okay, so essentially each of the players is playing in all the different games, right? It's
they
not
have to
where
be prepared to.
So tell us a little bit kind of a typical run of show, because is it like all eight teams are like, is it like one night's NBA 2K night and everyone, all the teams play NBA 2K? Like, how does it work?
Nope. All right, so you have two teams. Let's say it's my team and your team. We're going to pick our seven. So you may pick, you know, a couple fighting game experts, sports and strategy, and you maybe aren't going to worry about shooting games at all. I'm going to pick maybe all shooters and a couple of sports players and maybe one fighter, right? We have our seven. We mix and match however we want. Then the game starts. Once the game starts, a four-hour timer is set. Wheel spins with all the games on it. It's a roulette wheel. It's 33 games. The wheel spins. It lands on a game. We play that game. That's 1 point, right? Then we do it again. Wheel spins again, but now that game's not on the wheel anymore. That's another point. Normally, an average game is going to have anywhere between 20 and 25 titles played, and the person with the most points wins.
Wow. And it's just like, oh, we land on Street Fighter. You're our best Street Fighter player. Hop in. Or like, we're playing Call of Duty. You're the five that we need. Other two guys sit out. And it's just,
yep. It's 60% coaching, because if you get there's a rotation like baseball. If you get the rotation wrong and you put somebody in, they're not available till all your other players play. So we have what's called a five-man strat in our league. And it's essentially where his team, instead of playing seven players, they play five. But those five are better as specialists. And so they get through their rotation quicker so that they can continuously play the players a lot sooner. But then they get the disadvantage of not having particular skills maybe in a certain game. So there's a lot of coaching, a lot of strategy to it. But the basic premise is win as many games as you can.
And how does gambling and betting kind of fan engagement? Because like, you're adding the roulette and now you're talking about, oh, did they have the best, you know, Fortnite player? But like, if it doesn't hit on Fortnite, he sucks at everything else. Like, yeah. What do we do?
Yeah, I mean, so we've already had conversations with Prize Picks, and the other one was called Kudos or something like that, I think is what it was called. Or anyways, the essentially we have the they're more a they do more fantasy than gambling, but we have both the fantasy style and we have the gambling. So we can really offer both within our league, where you could just be gambling on what the next spin is, right? And like, it's a roulette spin. So you could just be gambling on that. But then also, once we reach a point, we're not there yet, because we were asked and we said, absolutely not. Our players, we're not at the point where the players make enough to where we wouldn't have to worry about those types of issues that you already know what you would have to worry about. But we think that just gambling on the wheel, or you gamble on, you know, the genre that's going to be played, or
not the result.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're just not there.
Well,
we're
the
not
whole industry is not there. The monitoring part of it, the integrity, that's the reason why it hasn't been adopted. And, you know, we've had people before on the show talk specifically about those topics where, you know, the match fixing, it's just too hard to dictate. So it
you can't give somebody that's going to win $10,000. You know, and they can bet $1,000 and throw it, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Right. So we're not at that point yet, but I think with what we do, we offer the ability for gamers to still get involved in that market if they want to be there. And then as we grow, I think we're the most realistic option for gambling people that want to do any type of fantasy or gambling, because we have box scores at the end. How many sports games did this person win? How many strategy games did they win? How many shooting games did they win? And so you could bet on a specific amount of games won at the end of the match, right? And now it's threefold. Does that game spin? You know, do those games actually end up rolling? And do they end up going against an opponent that's just way better? I think it's the most realistic for any gambling company that's watching. We're the most realistic option for you.
I mean, I like it. I think it's really interesting. I mean, it's so regarding the players, say you're signed to like you're on the League of Legends LCS team, can you still compete in the league? Like, how does name, image, and likeness come into play? Like, obviously, you're not paying as much as, you know, Team Liquid is.
So if you're a player and you want to join and you're on Team Liquid, that's up to them whether they allow it. And if they allow it, absolutely. Like, we don't really care at this point whether we have pro gamers. Like, we have a very good amount of pro gamers in our league currently, that are, you know, from fighting to shooting sports. We just got our first sim racer, so we have pro gamers that are involved in the league, and we don't really care. Some team owners do, though. Some team owners do, and that's more their thing. Mm-hmm. But most team owners, you know, before you get drafted, they're going to ask you those questions and say, hey, you know, are you okay? Because from a team perspective, if they wanted to join the league and they want to have a Team Liquid in the league, we would absolutely allow it. We would just, at the next expansion, have them join, and then they can't just bring their players in, right? Their players would have to join into the draft and then get drafted by whomever they get to. So that is more like if they want to be involved and become a team, then yeah, when we expand or whatever, we would be more than happy to have it, that team. They just buy in and do just like everybody else, because they offer no real benefit to us. You know, believe it or not, we're already kind of on the path that we need to be. They're doing their thing, we're doing ours, and we respect them, and you know, they're going to have to respect us.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds amazing. It's definitely like a new avenue. Like you said, you've kind of taken the business model that's kind of been established, you know, from the beginning, and putting you in this unique position. So let's kind of talk a little about the stuff you did with the Washington Commanders NFL team. So what kind of stuff did you do, and kind of how that all come about?
Yeah, so I actually connected with them through the cybersecurity company that I work with, and they had ended up partnering with the Commanders and introduced me to the president of the Commanders, Jason. I believe his name's Jason. He's the new president. He's the first Black president of a football NFL team. I know he's the first for the Commanders, but anyways, introduced me to him. We ended up having a conversation when they first brought in, I don't remember who was being brought in, but we ended up having a conversation over dinner, and we talked about esports. They talked about how they were looking to move to Virginia, build a new arena somewhere in this area. And I talked about the community that we already had here, and that we can help them on the gaming side and reaching, you know, kids. Because right now the NFL is kind of struggling. I don't know if you know this, but they're struggling to reach the younger audience because the younger audience is just not interested in football. And so they're starting to panic a little bit, and, you know, getting ads on Nick Jr. and whatever.
Right, they made a whole Nickelodeon Slime Time show.
Yeah, exactly. So they're trying their best to get the kids involved, and they know gaming is a way to do that. And so that's kind of where we ended up connecting. Then when the new owners came in and Magic Johnson and all them, I got to talk with them a little bit about it too. So essentially what we're looking to do is pretty much just set up tournaments, run tournaments, do a lot of activation stuff with the kids in the arenas. And then we've been able to go, we've gotten tickets to all the games so that we can have people like our players and stuff go to the games. We had a big event at one of the suites that we have through the G Cube, so the cybersecurity company that we work with. So it's been awesome. They've been really, really cool, and it's been awesome working with them.
Amazing. So I definitely love the sports and esports connections. I think it makes a lot of sense. So recently you guys announced a strategic expansion and fundraise of $5 million. So congrats on that. So
thank you.
Tell us a little bit about that. You know, how did it happen, and what are some of your plans for, you know, the funds?
Sure. So we've never really raised funds before. I've kind of just been doing this kind of on my own when I can, that type of thing. About two years ago, I was faced with, you know, an ultimatum from my job that I was working at before in real estate. And I said, I had to pick one, this or that. Right. And I chose this. And so now we've gotten to the point where, as we were growing, I found that it was vital for us, in order to be able to get to where we really want to go, we have to be able to support our administrative staff in a way that a pro league would. And then also we have to be able to get the advertising dollars in to be able to grow more of a fan base. Because right now we have a big player base, and the player base is fans. So that's great. But we more need to grow a fan base that aren't players in the league necessarily, and maybe they aspire to be. And so in order to do that, we need more funding, and we need to be able to travel and grow. And so we haven't announced this yet, but we can utilize this as an announcement. We're doing our first traveling event as well. So we're actually going to the DeVos Theater. In Grand Rapids, Michigan. So it's a massive theater. They're ranked top 10 in the world. And we expect to be able to sell out there. And we're working with all the different colleges and, you know, T-Mobile and a bunch of other brands, Red Bull, all that to really be able to make this a big event for our finals in season 8. So the players don't know that yet. Haven't announced that yet, but we're going to let them know, and we're really excited about it.
Well, they'll learn about it when this goes live, but that sounds amazing. So what advice do you have for anyone that's looking to try to work in, you know, the esports and gaming space?
I would say don't be afraid to be yourself. When I first got into the space, everyone wanted me to do what everyone else was doing, right? Like, they wanted me to follow that same kind of path, that same trajectory, and do the single game tournament, and that just, I just never vibed with that. And I've never been the type to just follow trends just to follow trends. And for a long time I got nothing but, you know, flack and hate for the league that I was creating, and
well,
what
like
I was
the championship gaming series that DirecTV did, that was like a kind of a disaster, where you're having people play games that they're just not good at, and nobody wants to watch that. So that was kind of the premise. And, you know, they spend, I don't know, however many millions of dollars my textbook said they spent, and it was a flop.
Yeah. Yeah. And I watched that. It's very different, but yeah, it's the same sentiment. Like, essentially, when you create something and you really like you really kind of focus on what would you as an individual love and what would you really enjoy? Just know there are multiple people like you that would also enjoy that, you know, and finding the right path to it. A lot of times people think in esports, especially, you can just throw money at something and then people will show up. Like, you know, all we got to do is just a big enough prize pool and everybody will be there. And it's like that's not how it works. Like, you know, and so finding something that you really, really can stand behind and enjoy. Like you said, I don't know how much money they spent on that show, but they thought if they just threw it together, we're doing a TV show, and the network, they presented a show that I had never heard of. I think it was called like The Challenger, as like a case study. And they were like, oh, well, you know, this show, watch this show, it flopped, tell me why, right? And this was a show, it was on like Street Fighter V. They did it on TBS, which was the network that we were talking to. And it was obvious to me that that they thought that just because they're putting all this money into it, that people are just going to watch it. But what, you know, anybody that was in esports or in that space at the time would tell you, like, Street Fighter wasn't a popular enough game on its own to stand on its own and say, like, we're doing a Street Fighter tournament and we're going to have, you know,
especially at that cycle of the game, right? When a new game comes out, that's a different story. But once you're near the end of the life cycle, it's not the same.
Right. And even in the beginning of the life cycle, you're only capturing the audience that's involved in that game. And the users, if you were to check what the user base at that time for Street Fighter was, you're talking like 50,000 users, maybe, you know, playing at any given time. Well, that 50,000 also happens to have to be on TBS when the show comes on. Like, that's just you have a very good chance of it being zero people that actually are playing Street Fighter watching. You have a better chance of it being zero than you have of one person being on there being like, oh yeah, I like Street Fighter, let's watch it, you know? So it's just, anyways, the point is, you do what you love, and then make it, you know, make sure that it's not about the money. Because for, again, 4.5 years now, I have been adamant and really been focused. Why we don't charge people to join the league. We never have. Season one we charged. And that was because I needed to get people involved and invested. But then once after season one, we never charged again. And everyone that was there then has made their money back since then. So it was like $200 or something like that over the course of like 6 months. So it wasn't anything crazy. But the point is, it was never about money from season one all the way through. It wasn't about money. It was really finding an opportunity and are creating an opportunity for those that love gaming as a whole. And I believe that is really what's kind of propelled us and made us so successful. Is in gaming, you got to be genuine. And we are that. We are genuinely trying to create opportunities for gamers.
Well, that's amazing. So kind of to bring this towards the end, what's the future for the league? You know, where's it going from here?
So we want to be like, we want to be Spotify, Apple Music, Uber,
Twitch, right? Where it's like, you could go there and you have all the options.
Exactly. Like, we want to be the place that a developer can come. The developer's more our customer. And, we want to be where the developer can come to showcase their game to people that are competitive or casual, it doesn't matter, but that just will enjoy playing that game. And we want to be the place for gamers to be able to have community and learn about new games and to learn about, you know, who's involved in those games and how to become professional in that game and have a clear path to doing so, or to get college scholarships or, you know, those types of things. So we want to be, like I said, we want to be big. Like, the difference between us and Spotify is gaming is bigger than music. the difference between us, the industry, and that's a fact. The difference between us and Apple TV or Netflix is gaming is bigger than the movie industry. Again, that's a fact, right? So we have a head start in a sense. As a sport, gaming is still very much in its infancy, but yet everybody plays it. With basketball, when basketball was created, nobody played it. You had to convince them to play it. We don't have to convince anybody. They're all there. They're just trying to find that pathway to get where they want to go. And we want to be that pathway.
Amazing. So I like to end each episode with my three questions. So what's your favorite game to watch?
Man, to watch? So this is, nobody's going to know what this game is. Lemnis Gate. It's Lemnisgate. Lemnisgate. I think it was discontinued, but if you can pull up videos on it, it is super entertaining. That's what I love about our league. We're able to put those little games in. It's so cool. It's like chess. It's a first person shooter chess match, where you just keep going back in time and reliving and trying to do something better. And then your opponent gets their opportunity to do the same. It's amazing. It's super fun. Love it.
So what's your favorite game to play?
Fallout, any Fallout, Fallout 76, Fallout 4, Fallout, not, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas is my favorite, probably, yeah.
So who's your favorite video game character?
That's a good question. Cabal from Mortal Kombat.
Okay, going with that. So this is amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell everybody where they can connect with you and learn about what you're doing with the league.
So you can connect with us. You can email at info@uelesports.com. You can go to our website, uelesports.com. You can email me at titus@uelesports.com. And yeah, all social medias at uelesports. So super easy, uelesports.
Amazing. So everyone make sure to go check it out. And if you're trying to be a pro, try to join the league, get drafted, make some money. And, you know, hopefully the wheel is in your favor.
Hey,
right,
it's like $100,000. $100,000 on the line.
That's real money then.
Yeah, get ready.
So thank you so much for joining us, and thanks everybody for tuning in. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, JustinJESQ. Check Apple Podcasts and Spotify for our past episodes and YouTube for all the videos.